Do you ever have a hard time being nice to people? I mean, it's all right if they're nice to you, but if they're not nice to you, I mean, do you just absolutely cringe? Do you find yourself saying things you shouldn't say? Do you find yourself, you know, getting your face in a position or your body in a position, and you know that you have just set a signal, and that signal's not good? Oh, beloved, what are you going to do? How can you be like Christ? We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. Welcome, my friend, to our study on Philippians, the epistle of joy. This is an epistle that talks about joy and uses it as a key repeated word throughout. And if you remember, joy is Jesus first, then others second, and then you. Now, that is absolutely contrary to our culture, isn't it? I mean, in our culture, it has to be me. It's all about me. I am number one. And if you will make me number one and you will keep me number one, then I will be perfectly happy and I will be perfectly pleasant. But you know what? That's not reality, is it? Nobody is going to keep you number one. And when you want to be number one, you're going to miss out on the joy that God wants you to have and the opportunities that He wants you to have. I mean, when people don't treat you nice, when people are not kind and that, God expects you and I to walk in that supernatural, divine joy. And that is understanding that joy is Jesus first and others second, and then me having a proper perspective on life. Well, we're in Philippians chapter 2. We have looked at the mind of Jesus Christ, and we have seen that we are to have the same attitude that Jesus had. And the same attitude that Jesus had was others before Him. I mean, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He humbled Himself, and He took on Himself the form of a servant. What is the job description of a servant? It is others before you. You're there to serve. And He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So then, my beloved brethren, this is what the way that Paul segues into the application of what it means to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ, as I've said, and I'll say it over and over again, until we get it into our heart, until we get it into our mind in such a way that God keeps bringing it to our mind and we say, okay, God, I surrender. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to dispute. I'm not going to come back against this person. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. So watch what He does. We're in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, here is the key to handling relationships in the proper way. Here is the key to not reacting, but instead responding to people. It is by working out your salvation with a fear and a trembling. You say, wait a minute, that is a little bit of a difficult phrase. You're right, it is. Because the minute that we read it, what do? We say, okay, work for your salvation. And the word salvation, work out your salvation, what on earth is He talking about? Well, work out your salvation, first of all, is in the present tense. And the present tense, remember, is like a continuous line. It is habitual or continued action. It's something that you keep on doing. So you could translate it, keep on working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, let's just sit for a minute on workout. Workout means to carry out to completion. Notice he did not say work for your salvation, because we're not saved by working for our salvation. We're saved by grace. Grace is unmerited, unearned favor. We're saved by grace through faith, simply by believing God. And the minute, and this is very important, so you don't want to miss this. And if you're taking notes next to this verse or somewhere, you want to get this down. When you and I become a child of God, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what Colossians says. So when you and I become a child of God, Jesus Christ, it's like we open the door, so to speak, and Jesus walks in, the door closes, and he takes up residence within. All right, now when he comes inside of us, he brings everything that he is. In other words, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus bodily, and Jesus dwells in us bodily. So when he comes in, then he brings power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power, the power, the engine turned on, the power unto salvation to everyone that believes. So what he's saying is, okay, now this is what's happened. You become a child of God. Because you become a child of God, you have the mind of Christ. Now let me show you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So I want you to go in your Bible, unless of course you're unable to get to a Bible. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is what he says. He says, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. In other words, if you're spiritual, if the Spirit of God is in you, you're spiritual. You appraise all things. You're able to evaluate all things. Now, why are you able to do that? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right, you say, well, if I have the mind of Christ, why am I not acting like I have the mind of Christ? Why am I letting people get to me? Why are they irritating me? And why do I respond wrongly to them? Why am I constantly going around yapping at my husband's heels or at my wife's heels or nagging my kids or arguing or grumbling and disputing? It's because you have the mind of Christ, but honey, you ain't using it. Now, this is what he's talking about. He's saying, okay, you've got this. You've got the mind of Christ, but what you have to do is you have to use it. You have to let it go. You have to let it be released. So he's saying, work out your salvation. And how are you to do this? Well, he says, not only in my presence, not in my presence only, but also in my absence. But you do it not as if you're looking at someone standing there, another human being, so you better behave. I mean, the pastor's there, or the Bible teacher's there, or somebody that you admire is there, so you're going to check yourself. But you do it with fear, and you do it with trembling. And that fear and trembling is a fear of God. It is a, now listen carefully, fear of God is a respect of God. It is a trust of God. Fear of God is two things. Respect, I'm going to honor you as God. And trust is I'm going to trust you to be God. I'm going to trust you and to act like God. I'm going to trust you to come through. So what does that have to do with working out your own salvation? Well, he says, for it is God who is at work in you. At work in you means that he's energizing you. It's God who is at work in you both to will and to do. Now, look. Take your observation worksheet. Take this on Philippians chapter 2. And I want you to underline this in verse 13. For it is God who is at work. And I want you to underline in. It is God who is at work in you, both to will, and then I want you to circle, and to do. So what is he saying? He's saying this, look, I'm God, and I'm inside of you. And here's this person being rude. Here's this person not acting right. Here's this person, you know, I mean, just being obnoxious. But you're my child, and I'm inside of you. And I want you in this situation to have the mind, to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. You say, I can't do it. They've been too rude. They're too bad. I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. And you can do it. And you know why you can do it? You can do it because Christ is in you. And he's at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what do you need to do? Hush, darling. Hush, sir. Close your sweet little mouth. Excuse me, shut up and listen, because Christ is in you. Stop and think about the mind of Christ. That's God in you. And he's convicting you that you're wrong. And he's trying to go like this to you. And so you let him do it. He's in you both to will but also to do. You can't say as a child of God, I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you could, because God is in there to help you. This is a marvelous secret. I mean, an absolutely marvelous secret. I remember one day when I was so mad at my husband. I mean, I was absolutely fuming. And I was absolutely fuming because Jack is Mr. Peace at any price. And I mean, if there's a problem, he doesn't want to talk about it, and he will forget that problem. And the next day, it's just kiss, kiss, ignore it, and it's fine. And we will go on. Now, it's fine with his personality, but it ain't fine with mine. And so one day, I mean, it was Mr. Ignore, and he was ignoring it, and I thought, oh, no. And so I turned around, and I misbehaved, and I said things that I shouldn't have said, and it was like he just ignored me. And I'm telling you, I got so furious that I started out down the hall of our house, and I just slammed something so that he would know that I was mad. And you know what was happening to me all the time? I'll tell you when I come back.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
You came back, didn't you, just to see how bad I was. I'm telling you, I was bad. I was bad because I was mad. I was mad because it was about me and because he was not meeting my needs. I mean, I have learned a lot in our marriage, and I have learned a lot because I am married to a man. Yes, I know we marry opposites, but I am married to a man that does not want to communicate about any problem. And he's sweet and he's precious, and people that know him will tell you that he's sweet and he's precious. But every now and then, honestly, what it does is it builds up in me, and it had built up right to here, and I had had it. And I was so mad. And as I turned around and I walked out and I slammed that down on the bench because I wanted him to know how mad I was, the whole time in my heart, it was like Jesus was trying to rein in this raging bull and or bullus or whatever, this raging cow and with her horns down or her head down or whatever and rein me in, because the whole time I was doing it, I knew I shouldn't be doing it. Now, what was happening? It was Christ in me, energizing me to will of his will, not my will, to do what he wanted me to do. And I tell you, I was so angry, and this is not me, but I was so angry, and I wanted to shock that man. So when I threw that down, now you have to understand, my husband came from this Christian background. I mean, he's an illegitimate child, but he was raised by his grandmother, and his grandmother was a Nazarene, and you talk about strict, they were strict in those days. I mean, she cried because he wore basketball shorts. She got excited because when she saw him water ski, she just knew that someday her boy would walk on water, you know. But I mean, he's the kind that when he finally went to a movie and disobeyed his grandmother, and the Northern Lights came and grandma went out there and she was shouting and saying, "Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming." He ran and he hid behind a barrel. He says, "Oh, Jesus, don't come. I'll never go to a movie again. Please, I'll get right with you." That's the kind of background. So I was so mad that I said, "Do you want me to say it or do you want me to spell it?" Damn. I said, "Damn." And I said it, and I said it loud enough for him to hear it because I wanted him to know how badly he had hurt me. Now, that is not the mind of Christ. That is not walking in fear and trembling. That's not the attitude of Christ. It was all about me. I grabbed my keys. I went out. I got in the car. And I'm telling you, I threw it into reverse. And I spun around. And I took off down our hill. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit inside of me, Jesus inside of me, is saying, "Stop it. Stop it." But you know what? I just didn't want to stop it. Now, there were problems going on in Philippi. And we pick up the fact that there are problems because when we get to the fourth chapter, he urges Euodia and Syntyche to get along with one another. So we know there were problems. We know there are problems. You know that there's a problem when in an epistle, when you find him addressing a certain situation or a certain behavior or a certain doctrine, because we know that he is writing this epistle in order to help them live the way they ought to live or believe the way they ought to believe. And so he's saying, you know, stop, stop, stop. And I got down the bottom of the hill and I thought, you know, this is not pleasing to Jesus. He gave me the energy, the ability to get back up that hill, to walk into that house, and to go to my husband. And I still think he was wrong not to communicate with me, but to go to my husband and say, "Would you forgive me for my behavior? Would you forgive me for my attitude?" God is at work in us, beloved, to will and to do of his good pleasure. How do I want to explain this to you? I'll tell you, when I was a kid, I had a brother that was a year and 5 months younger than I was. I'm the oldest kid. You know what firstborn are like. And that brother and I divided all of our duties. And in those days, we had to water the lawn and we didn't have a sprinkler. We had a hose and you could turn it so that it went into a spray. But then we had our outdoor duties, we had our indoor duties, and we had our quarrels to go with them. And I knew nothing about Jesus Christ. I knew nothing about him living inside of me. We went to church, but it was just religion. And I never heard about how I could be born again and how Jesus could move in. Well, one day we're out in the yard, and what I'm doing is I'm standing out in that yard and I'm watering the lawn. All right. And I have that water going full blast. I mean, I have turned that faucet up and it is going full blast. And that water is coming out just like that. And I decide I want to drink because I'm thirsty and I'm hot. So instead of going back and turning the knob down, I just take the hose. This is the hose. My arm's the hose. And I kink the hose. Now, the water's coming out like that. But the minute when I kink the hose, then the water starts coming out at a dribble. As long as I've got the hose kinked, I bend down to drink off of that. But remember, I have a brother that's a year and 5 months younger than I am. And that brother comes up behind me, sneaks up behind me. He sees me with that hose that is kinked like that, and he knows what's going to happen, and he just simply jerks the hose. Now listen, all that power, all that water pressure that's in that hose, all of a sudden is unleashed, and that hose starts going like this, and I'm yelling and I'm screaming because I am wet, and that's not as bad as who made me wet. It's my brother. Now, this is what it means to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work where? In you, both to will, and that's that power to come out, and to do of his good pleasure. And what we do when we don't have the attitude of Christ, when we decide I'm not going to be nice, I'm not going to respond the way I should, or I'm just going to let this person have it, what happens is we kink the hose. The power is there. God is there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my what? My helper. And so God is there, but we kink the hose, and so all we get is a dribble. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that all you're getting? I mean, that's the secret of the Christian life is fear and trembling. Do all things with fear and trembling. So fear means I'm respecting God as God. And I'm going to honor God. Remember, fear is respect and fear is trust. So I'm going to trust God to be God. And when I do it in fear and trembling, then what I'm saying is, God, what I want is what you want more than what I want. I want that joy. I want that peace that passes all understanding. And it comes by me realizing that life and joy begins with Jesus, that Jesus is to be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And if I'm reacting wrong to people, Jesus is not being exalted in my body. But if I have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is others, then I'm saying to God, okay, all right, you work out what you want to do. In me, I'm just a vessel. I'm just the hose. Let your power flow. And I'm going to do it in fear and trembling. And I'm going to do all things without murmuring and without disputing, without quarreling. We'll talk about it in our next program. Don't forget to download what we have for you, the study guide. Go to preceptsforlife.com. Preceptsforlife.com. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learned so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. da-da-da-da-da-da, charge. You say, you aren't going very far, girl. And I didn't go very far, did I? Only went two verses. We covered all of two verses in Philippians chapter 2. And yet, you know what? They're absolutely essential. They're essential to everything else that you're going to see. Because you and I need to understand that salvation is Christ in me. But that salvation is to be worked out. It is to be lived out. And it's lived out by letting Christ have control of my life. It's by understanding, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to see that in Philippians chapter 4. And I can do it because Christ is in me. And He is in me, and He is energizing me, not only to will, not only to convict me and say, this is what you need to do, and this is what is pleasing to me, but also, and this is the neat thing, to give us the power to do it, not only to will, but to do it. And because you and I, and this is all summary, but I don't want you to miss it, because you and I have Christ in us, and because He is energizing me and giving me the will and giving me the ability to do it, then I need to do it. I need to do it because I don't have any excuse, and neither do you, beloved. What are we going to do this week? We're going to practice what we learned. We're going to practice what we saw, aren't we? We need to wake up in the morning and say, okay, God, You're in me. And joy is Jesus first, and I want Him to be exalted. And it is others second. And I want to treat them with the attitude of Jesus Christ. So, God, that's what I want to do. And, God, I'm asking You now, in the name of Your Son, to be glorified. Make me sensitive to Your voice. And just make me aware that You're there with all of your power, enabling me to be what I am supposed to be. And that is that I am to reflect to others the life of Christ. Oh, you don't want to miss our next program, because we're going to talk about not murmuring, not grumbling, not disputing. And how do you keep from doing that? Well, it's all here in this little book, in this epistle, this 4-chapter book on how to have joy despite imprisonment, despite people, despite things, and despite circumstances. We're going to learn so much. I'm so proud of you. Thanks for studying with me.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.